We're reading through Luke's Gospel. We're in chapter 2. A few weeks back we were talking about the Lord Jesus and how he was born in Bethlehem. Since then we've been talking about the things that happened in the first few weeks after he was born. When Jesus was just a few weeks old, Joseph and Mary took him up to Jerusalem to dedicate him to the Lord. They took the baby, Jesus, into the temple. And there was a man there in the temple called Simeon. And as soon as Simeon saw Joseph and Mary and the baby Jesus, Simeon went up to them. He took the baby in his arms and he began to praise God. This is what he said. You can see it in verse 28. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. And then Simeon began to speak words of blessing over Joseph and Mary. And he began to talk to them about their child and about God's plan for their child. That's the story we've been looking at in the last couple of weeks. Last week we looked at what the Bible has to say about Simeon himself. What sort of man was he? We saw four things about Simeon. In verse 25, Simeon was a righteous man. He was an upright man, a man of integrity, a man you could trust. Simeon was a devout man, a man who feared God, who honored God, who lived for God. Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a man full of hope, looking forward to the day when God would send the Messiah to bring comfort to Israel. And Simeon was a man on whom God's Spirit rested. The Holy Spirit was on Simeon. Those are the four things that Luke wants us to know about Simeon right from the start. But now something else we need to know about this man. Simeon was a man with a secret. This is what it says in verse 26. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We've already been told that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for God to come and to rescue his people from all their sins and sufferings. He was waiting for God to bring comfort to his people. Well, Simeon knew just how God was going to do that. Simeon knew that God was going to send the Messiah, the Christ. Simeon had studied all the books written by the different prophets hundreds of years earlier. And Simeon had found the same promise given by God again and again and again. God had promised through the prophets that he would send a great king, a great savior, the anointed one, the Christ. Remember, that's what the word Christ means. It means the anointed one. Well, God had promised that the Christ would come and that he would defeat evil and that he would bring deliverance and comfort and joy to God's people. And that's what Simeon was looking forward to. He was looking forward to the coming of Christ. And this was the secret. God had told him that the Christ would come in his lifetime. God had said to Simeon, you will not die until you have seen the Christ. I don't know how God spoke to Simeon, whether it was in a dream or a vision or how it was. Simeon was a prophet. God spoke to the prophets in many different ways. We don't know exactly how he spoke to Simeon. But one way or another, God had given Simeon this absolute assurance: you are not going to die until the Christ, the Saviour, has come. You will see him in your lifetime. Now let me put it down on record at this point that I don't believe God speaks to people like this nowadays. Like I said, Simeon was a prophet. He was one of those prophets that God used to prepare the way for the coming of Christ. He was one of the very last of the Old Testament prophets. After Jesus came and lived and died and rose again and went into heaven and poured out his Spirit, Jesus raised up many other prophets to be the foundation of the church. The 12 apostles were prophets, and they were helped in their work by other prophets and prophetesses. But when their work was done, when the foundation had been laid for the church, when God had revealed the truth about Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation, when it was all written down in the books of the New Testament, there was no need for God to raise up any more prophets. God didn't need to keep giving extra bits of revelation. He has given us in the Bible everything we need to know. Simeon needed to have a personal revelation given to him directly by God himself, something that Simeon couldn't have learned in any other way. We don't need those sorts of personal revelations, because God has given us now the complete Bible, and it includes everything that God has to say to us. If someone comes to me now and says, God has told me such and such, then I'm always going to ask, how has God told you? Where in the Bible has God said it? And it doesn't matter what it is. If it's not there in the Bible, I'm not interested. Somebody says to me, God has told me I'm going to marry girl X or Y or Z. Somebody else says to me, God has told me I'm going to serve on the mission field. Somebody else says, God has told me I've got to become the worship leader in your church. And somebody else says, God has told me to become an airline pilot. Well, wherever they've got those things from, they've not got them from the Bible. So I'm going to say to them, no, God has not told you those things. They might all be excellent things to do. They might be right things. I might encourage somebody to pursue any of those things. But if they're telling me that God has told them those things, so that they know them for sure, then I'm going to tell them that they're deluded. God does not give us now extra private revelations to add to the commands and promises that are there in the Bible. We're in a much better position than Simeon was in. Simeon didn't have a complete Bible. He only had the Old Testament. Simeon didn't have the rock-solid certainties that we've got. Simeon needed personal, special communications from God. But God has given us his word once and for all. First, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who is the all-sufficient living word. And then he gave us the Bible, which is the record of Jesus Christ, the full explanation of what God has given us in Christ. We don't need anything beyond that. When you've got the Bible in your hands, you've got everything you need to know to discover God and to enter into all that he has to give to us. Well, I've taken you off on a tangent. Back from that tangent. Simeon did have that secret. He had this revelation from God. He knew he was not going to die until he had seen the Christ, the promised Saviour. Presumably God did not tell him exactly when this would be. Simeon had to be ready any time for this to happen. Simeon could be in the marketplace doing the shopping. And maybe it would be there that he would see the Christ. He could be lying in bed one night and there'd be a knock on the door. And he might find that the Christ has arrived at his home. Or he could go to the temple one day, as he had been thousands of times before. And he might find that the Messiah, the Christ, had arrived at the temple. Simeon, as far as we know, wasn't told where he would meet the Christ. And as far as we know, he was not told how long he would live after he had seen the Christ. He could see the Christ, the Messiah, and be dead 5 minutes later. The promise is simply that he won't die until he has seen the Messiah. God didn't promise him that he would live so many years, or that he would live to a particular age. So Simeon has to live each day just as we do, with the consciousness that this could be his last day. Every day Simeon lives with the thought, this could be the day when I see the Christ. And that means that this could be the day when I die. Every one of us should live with that consciousness. How many years do I expect to live? How many years has God promised me? The answer is none. I have this moment, and that is all I'm certain of. That is all that I'm promised. I have this moment to serve God. I have this moment to turn from my sins. I've got this moment to prepare for eternity. I may not have another. I need to be ready to die any moment, every moment. Now, what comes over so beautifully, so wonderfully in this passage, is that Simeon was a man who was prepared to die. Simeon goes to the temple that day. He's moved by the Spirit to go there. Well, we're not told very much what happened. We have to imagine the details, I suppose. Perhaps Simeon has been standing praying there in the temple court. Perhaps he's just been sitting quietly, just watching the people come and go. And suddenly, a particular couple catches Simeon's eye. The man is obviously a working man. He's dressed in a homespun robe. He's perhaps a builder, maybe a farm labourer, carpenter possibly. His wife, well, she's very young. She's mid-teens, I would guess. And she's holding a baby, wrapped in a shawl. The man is carrying two live pigeons. And from that, Simeon can tell that this is their firstborn son, and that they brought him here to dedicate to the Lord. The pigeons are the sacrifice that they have to offer. And Simeon can also tell that they're very poor people. It was only the poorest people who were allowed to offer pigeons for that purpose. Anyone else would offer a lamb. Simeon looks at this little family group. And suddenly, he knows. In one heart-stopping moment, Simeon knows. This is the moment he's been waiting for all down through the years. I don't know what Simeon was expecting. Did it ever occur to him that the Messiah could still be a baby when he saw him? Perhaps he was assuming that the Messiah would have grown to manhood when he saw him, already a great warrior, a kingly figure, a fit prince for the house of David. I don't suppose he ever imagined that the Messiah would be carried in the arms of a tired-looking peasant girl. But whatever he was expecting, Simeon knew. The same Holy Spirit who first told him that he would see the Christ, the same Holy Spirit who's rested on him down the years and kept the hope alive, the Spirit who brought him into the temple on that day, the Holy Spirit gives him this complete certainty. That baby, he's the Christ. That baby is my Saviour. That baby is going to reign over the universe. For thousands of years, ever since Adam, sin and death and misery and cruelty had ruled the world. And Simeon knows that that little bundle of humanity wrapped up in a shawl, that he's the answer to it all. This is the Christ, the seed of the woman. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Simeon's seeing him at last. And Simeon gets to his feet, and he walks quietly over to Joseph and Mary and doesn't say anything. He just holds out his arms. And Mary looks at him puzzled and then hands over the baby. And Simeon looks down at the baby in his arms. Can you imagine what he's feeling in that moment? I don't know about you, but I feel that to hold any baby is an awesome thing. I can't hold a newborn, a few weeks old baby without a sense of awe, wonder, that there's something unknowable, there's something unguessable about every baby. I look at a little baby and I wonder what's going on inside that head. What sort of person is this? What could he be? What could he grow up to be? Well, that's true of any baby, but this baby, hidden behind those tiny features, hidden behind those dimples, if you like, what unimaginable potential there is. Simeon knows that he's holding in his arms the future ruler of the universe. He's holding the little human being in whom dwells all God's power, the one on whom all God's eternal purposes rest. I thought about that earlier this morning, just what it must have meant for Simeon to look down on that baby, knowing something about what that baby is going to be. And I felt shivers going down my back. What must Simeon have felt at that moment? And then Simeon's feelings overflow. And Simeon finds himself praying. And this is what he prays. Sovereign Lord, my master, my ruler, as you've promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In peace. You dismiss your servant in peace. That's the phrase that's so important, isn't it? Simeon knows he's going to be dead very soon. He knows that the Lord is going to dismiss his servant, to say, Simeon, you're no longer needed here. And Simeon is at peace about it. You see, this is the sign that Simeon's been waiting for. It means he's going to die soon. And he knows it. And Simeon is ready. And he says, I can die in peace. If I died in the next 5 minutes, I'd be happy. My life is done. My work is done. I'm ready. You dismiss me in peace. I want to die like that. If I have a heart attack over lunch today, and if I find myself lying on the floor with those chest pains clutching at me, I want to be able to say, I've no fear. I'm at peace. I'm ready. If I'm driving on a country road and I hit a patch of oil and I feel the car slew out of control, and I see the tree trunk hurtling towards me. Well, in that split second before I die, I want to be able to shout, "Yes, I'm ready." I want to be able to say with Simeon, "Lord, you now dismiss your servant, and I'm at peace." Now let's ask what lies behind Simeon's words. I want to highlight four things. Firstly, Simeon sees himself as a servant. How does Simeon speak to God? In the NIV it says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." The Authorized Version is just "Lord." But it's not the usual word translated "Lord" in the New Testament. It's a very strong word. It's the word "despotes." It's the Greek word that gives us the English word "despot." An absolute ruler. Someone whose commands can't be questioned. That's how Simeon thinks of God. As someone whose will can't be questioned. Someone who has absolute rights over him. And how does Simeon think of himself? "Now you dismiss your servant in peace." Again, it's a strong word. "You now dismiss your slave in peace." That's the way Simeon views himself, as a slave. Someone who is the absolute property of his master. Someone who's bound to work for his master if his master asks him to, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Someone who's got no property of his own, no life of his own. It all belongs to his master. Simeon can say to God, "You're my master and I'm your slave. That's what I exist for. I exist for one purpose, to serve you. That's been the whole purpose of my life." I know that the only way for me to live a happy life and to die a peaceful death is to think like that and to live like that. The only happy man is the man who has a single undivided goal, who doesn't allow himself to be distracted by lots of conflicting priorities. The man who settled in his mind what he exists for and what he wants from life, and who then pursues it with total single-mindedness, he's a happy man. And a man like that can come to the end of his days and say, "It doesn't matter what else I had or didn't have in life. I got the one thing that really mattered to me." Now, there is only one thing that is worthy of that sort of single-minded, total devotion. And it's God himself. And Simeon knows it. As Simeon faces his death, he knows that he's not thrown away his life on any trivial, passing pursuit. He's not allowed himself to be distracted from the one all-important goal. He's used his life for the greatest and most glorious purpose that there is. He's used it as a servant of God, obeying God, serving God, glorifying God, and Simeon is content. He's got no regrets. He's at peace. If I were to die today, I'm afraid I'd have many regrets. Regrets over time and effort and money and energy wasted on so many trivial concerns. Things which were just distractions. My great regret would have been that I've not focused myself entirely on this one great goal, to serve the eternal God. I have to say to myself this morning, it's not too late. However much of my life I've squandered in the past, I can start again today, determined that I'm not going to waste any more. I can trust the Lord to make up somehow for the wasted hours, the wasted days, the wasted years. If I do that, then I need have no regrets at the hour of my death. Make God your one pursuit, and you will have no regrets in the hour of your death. Secondly, Simeon knows he's dispensable. Yes, he's a servant of God, and now the time has come for his master to dismiss him. And Simeon is happy with that. His master doesn't think he's needed anymore in this world, and Simeon accepts his master's verdict. He doesn't imagine he's indispensable. He doesn't say, oh, but I can't go yet. You know, there are so few real believers around, and I think I've still got work to do. I'm still needed here. As far as Simeon is concerned, God's work will go on perfectly well without him. Think about the words he uses in verses 30 to 32 as he speaks about this baby that he's holding, the Christ. Simeon talks about the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people. And he calls Christ, verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now Simeon is quoting here from that passage we read earlier, Genesis chapter 49, one of the great Old Testament prophecies. It's there in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, that the Christ is declared to be the light for the Gentiles, the one who's going to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. And the thing to notice back there in Isaiah 49 is the title that the Messiah is given in that passage. He's called the Lord's servant. So think about what Simeon is saying here in Luke 2. He says to God, I've been your servant, with a small s, for a little while, and now you're dismissing me. But I know I'm not needed, because your real servant has arrived now. The servant, with a capital S. The servant that Isaiah spoke about. And he's the one who's going to fulfill your plans and your purposes. He's the one who's going to bring back the elect from Israel. He's the one who's going to make light shine on the Gentiles. He's the one who's going to bring your salvation to the ends of the earth. He's going to triumph. He's going to carry through your one great plan of salvation infallibly, irresistibly. Your plan, O God, doesn't depend on having me around, does it? Your plan depends totally on this one little baby. Your servant. He's the servant who will serve you infinitely better than I ever could. He's the one indispensable servant of the Lord. So Simeon can say, nothing in the end depends on me. Everything depends on him. Now we need to have that confidence, don't we? If we're to face death peacefully. We need to know that the things we've tried to build, the things we've tried to do, are in the hands of Jesus Christ. That we're dispensable. I've pastored this church for a long time now. But I'm not needed, am I? If I die today, the church is in the hands of Jesus Christ. He's the life of this church. He's the teacher of this church. He's the guardian of this church. Providing the church has got him, it can do very well without me. I look at my children. I'm praying that the Lord will spare me for years to come so that I can see my children saved and so I can be there to guide them through their teenage years. I'm praying that God will allow me those things. But he may not. He's never promised me that. But if I were to die today, do I need to fear for my children? Do I have to die in a panic saying, but what about my children? No, if Christ is going to save them and keep them, he doesn't have to do it through me, does he? He can do it just as well without me around. I'm dispensable. Some people are by nature control freaks. they feel all the time that if they're not there to control things, things are going to go wrong. Simeon didn't feel that way. He knew that Jesus Christ is the one servant whose work really matters. We have to leave things. We have to learn to leave things in the control of the one infallible servant of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then thirdly, Simeon has seen the Christ whom he trusts. You now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. As Simeon looks down on this child in his arms, what does this child mean to him? This child means salvation. This child means rescue. Simeon is trusting this child to be his saviour. It's paradoxical, isn't it? And he's looking at a tiny baby, hardly strong enough to grip his finger. And what does Simeon see when he looks at that helpless baby? He sees his powerful saviour. This is the one I've got to trust to save me. This is my rescuer. This is the one on whom I depend totally. He is my salvation. As Simeon faces death, he knows that he has a saviour. Well, by other people's standards, Simeon has been a good man, a righteous man. He's been devout. And he can thank God for the fact that he's served the Lord faithfully. But that's not what Simeon is depending on now, as he sees the hour of his death approaching. As he faces death, all his trust is in this child. Simeon knows that whatever he's been by comparison with other people, by God's standards, he's simply a sinner. He's a sinner by nature. He shares in the guilt of Adam. He's a member of the wicked, depraved human race. And he's a sinner by practice. Yes, he's been kept from some of the horrible outward things that other people have committed. But his thoughts, his imaginations, his feelings, he knows that they don't match the perfect, burning holiness of God. So for Simeon, the great question has always been, how can I be saved from my sin? Well, long ago, he learned from God's book that when the Christ came, Christ would come to be the Saviour. He would come to bring salvation. And now Simeon looks down at this baby and he says, I've seen God's salvation. This child, he's the one who's going to save my soul. And if Simeon dies that hour, he'll die in peace, because he knows that this child is his saviour. He may not know just how this child will save him. He may not know how Christ will deal with the problem of his sins. I think he's got some inkling that it's going to be in a more terrible and heartbreaking way than anyone would expect. He goes on to say that a sword is going to pierce Mary's heart. Perhaps he's got some inkling of the terrible things that lie ahead. But does he know fully what's going to happen at Calvary? When this baby, grown to be a man, dies in agony, taking the punishment that Simeon deserved, taking the punishment I deserve. I don't know. I don't know how much Simeon knows. But I know this, that Simeon was resting all his hope in life and in death on this child, the Christ, the Saviour. And that's where my hope is too. Because I've seen the salvation of God too. I've seen what Simeon saw. I've seen that baby given over in perfect consecration to God. And I've seen what Simeon didn't see. I've seen that baby grown to be a perfect man. I've seen him hanging, tortured, covered in blood, screaming in pain on a cross. And I've seen him alive from the dead. I've seen him walking from the tomb, saying, peace be to you. And I know he's my saviour. And in the split second before the car hits the tree, in that moment, I trust that my last thought in this world will be of Jesus. Jesus dying in my place. Jesus cancelling out my sin. Jesus my Saviour. Jesus my Lord. And if that's true, then I'll die in peace. And finally, fourthly, Simeon has a great eternal hope. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. Simeon knows that there is a wonderful and glorious future ahead, and that he's going to share in it. Even though he may die this day, he's going to share in something wonderful beyond words. This Christ, this baby, has come to be a light for the Gentiles. A world of darkness is going to burst into light. The darkness that's lain over the whole world since Adam sinned is going to lift, and there's going to be a universe radiant again with the light of God. Salvation is going to come to the ends of the earth. The whole earth is going to be full of the glory of God. These are the great promises that are there in Isaiah 49 and in the whole of the Old Testament. That the Christ will rescue, yes, individuals, but that he'll rescue the people of God together, and that he'll rescue the universe. Shout for joy, O heavens, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains. Do you remember we read those words earlier from Isaiah 49? Well, surely if Simeon knows Isaiah 49 and verse 6, he also knows Isaiah 49 verse 13. He knows there's going to be a day when all the heavens and all the earth are going to be shouting for joy because of the triumph of Christ. He knows there's going to be a new universe, a restored universe, a universe in which God's people will neither hunger nor thirst, nor the desert heat or the sun beat upon them. He knows that God's people are going to drink from springs of living water forever. It's all there in the prophets. It's all there in Isaiah 49. And as he faces death, Simeon is looking forward. He believes that one day he's going to share in all that Christ brings. Yes, he's going to die. His body is going to be laid in the grave. It's going to moulder. But it doesn't matter, because Christ, whom he's seen, Christ whom he's held in his arms, Christ whom he's trusted, is going to remake the universe, and all of God's people are going to share God's glory. This baby has come to be the glory of your people Israel, and Simeon knows he's going to share in the everlasting glory that's coming. Going into nursing homes as we do, talking to elderly folk as we try to do, it can be heartbreaking, because so many of them have no hope. They're dying and they've got no hope. But the Christian doesn't die like that. The Christian dies with a vision before him of everlasting glory. And the Christian whose trust is in Christ alone knows that he's going to share that glory. And so the Christian dies in peace. The Christian says to his God, you now dismiss me in peace.